Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we come to James chapter 2. This is a very important part of the Bible. It's one that's often confused. Let me give you an idea of what I mean here in the introduction. How is a person saved? Well, you have two options here, either by faith alone or by faith plus works. Well, I'm guessing most of you are going to say faith alone. I hope you give that answer. However, in today's text, though, it says, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead. Think about that. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead. Kind of makes it sound like faith alone is wrong, that we need to have the works in order to have a faith that saves. What is that all about? Well, today I want to invite you to listen carefully because, first of all, it's important to understand about your own salvation. Many people in the world, I'm afraid, are mixed up and they think they have salvation, but they don't understand the Bible rightly and they think they have it, but they don't. So it's important for all of us that we rightly understand this. And then people are going to challenge us and they're going to say, well, why is what Paul is writing contradicting what James is writing? What's going on there? It looks like a contradiction, but I want you to know it's not, and I want to explain that to you so then you can in turn be able to explain it to others. So I'm excited about sharing this message with you today. First of all, we come to a claim of faith, but the person has no works. This is the most key verse of all here. Of course, it all fits together. But going to James chapter 2, verse 14, notice what it says. It has two questions here. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works, can that faith save him? Well, let me point out, first of all, as we focus on the words faith in here, let's understand the text is talking about someone who says he has faith, someone who claims he has faith, but he doesn't actually have faith. I think that's the biggest point of confusion right here. Someone who is saying they have it, claiming they have it, but they actually don't. You'll see more as I go further with this, but I believe today multitudes of people are claiming that they have faith. If you look up on Google, you're going to find that about 2.5 billion people in the world, over one quarter of all people in the world, are claiming they have faith. They are claiming they are Christians. Is there anywhere near 2.5 billion Christians in the world? I very highly doubt that. They are claiming something. Now, they themselves might even think that is true, but they're claiming something that they don't understand about. They're claiming something that in many cases simply is not true. I don't want anybody to be in that situation, and I especially don't want any of you to be in that situation. Thinking about faith here, what is faith? Do you remember how we take the word faith and we take each letter, F-A-I-T-H, and we make a word out of each letter? Does anyone remember what that is? How does it go? Forsaking all. Oh, very good. Forsaking all, I trust him. So there it is right there. It's a great definition of faith, but we have to be a little bit careful because when we have the word I, it sounds like, oh, I did something. I have faith because I did something. Let's understand it rightly. Think about it like this. Let's break it down real quick. So forsaking all, what does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit has enabled me to put no trust for heaven, 0% for heaven in anything I have done. So the Holy Spirit has worked that within me to put no trust for heaven in anything I have done, going to church, reading the Bible, helping my neighbor, giving money, whatever it might be, let's all put no trust for heaven in any of that stuff. And then, I trust him. What does that mean? Again, it's the Holy Spirit who has enabled us to put all trust for heaven, 100% trust for heaven in Jesus, in who he is and what he has done to take away the sin of the world. Now, going back to the text here, we're still in verse 14, and we have two questions. What use is it, and can that faith save him? Let's consider these two questions. What are the answers for both questions? Are the answers yes, or are the answers no? When we read it in English, we kind of have to take a guess and say, well, it could be yes, could be no, not quite sure. God has blessed us so much right here. When we look into the Greek text, we find that both answers are told to us right in the text, because in connection with each question, we have the negative particle in the Greek, the negative particle pronounced may. It's only a two-letter word, but when we have that word, that is telling us that the answer is no. So God has solved the whole thing right there. We don't have to look at it and guess. God has told us the answer to both questions are no. So when it comes to what use is it, it is of no use. It is useless when someone claims to have faith. That is useless because they don't actually have faith. Can that faith save him? Again, the answer is no. They're claiming to have something. Because they don't have it, it is useless. It can do nothing for them. So the claim of faith means nothing. We have to actually have it. Like I said to the kids earlier, when the Holy Spirit was at work through holy baptism, he gave them the gift of faith by which they trusted in Jesus and were clothed with the righteousness of Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, has to do that. No one can say Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. Now we go on to an example here right in the next two verses. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Well, is it of some use? Hey, here's this guy. He doesn't have any food. He's extremely hungry. If I say, God bless you, may you find some food soon, I wish you well. Boy, that sounds nice, doesn't it? But is that going to do anything for that guy? Hey, he's extremely hungry. He needs food. So here we have the question again, what use is that? How do we know if that's a yes or a no? Again, the same thing here. We look at the Greek and we come to the negative particle, may, and we know the answer is no. In other words, what use is that? It is useless. It means nothing to go about it in that manner. I summarize those two verses this way: saying without giving is of no use. Saying without giving is of no use. When someone is truly in need and God has equipped us to help, let's make sure that we are taking action to help. God has equipped us for that reason. God has permitted us to come in contact with a needy person. Let's make sure we help. Now, can it be difficult to tell who is really needy and who isn't? That becomes a difficulty. Is it better to err on the side of helping someone who might not be in need, or maybe holding back even though the person might have a genuine need? It's probably better to help, even if we're helping someone that legitimately does not have the need. May God help us be those kinds of people, but may God also give us discernment to know who is in need and who is not in need. Not so easy to figure out. And then here in the second part, when there are no works, faith is dead. We're up to verse 17 now. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Let's keep in mind here now, it gets a little bit tricky. Let's understand that faith with the evidence of works, that faith is alive. Now, can sometimes people claim to have faith, they seem to have works, and we conclude they're a Christian and they're not really a Christian? Hey, that can happen too. I'm going to get to that in the final part here. But in a general sense, when people are saying they are in Christ and they seem to have the works that go along with that, that's faith that is alive. But what about this situation where there is a claim for faith and yet there are no evidence of works? We can understand that faith is dead, because if there was faith, then there would be the evidence of works. God wants us to understand it in that way. So like it says there again, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But here though, see, it's talking about faith in saying it could be a legitimate faith that has the evidence of works. It could be an illegitimate faith that has no evidence of works. And there, if there are no evidence of works, then that faith is dead. So it can go either way, but it can be difficult to tell for us. Now, God knows everything. It can be difficult, though, for us. So with dead faith cannot save. Dead faith is when someone is claiming to have it, but they really don't have it. Dead faith cannot produce any works. What do I mean by that? Dead faith cannot produce any works. Well, let me clarify. Dead faith cannot produce any works that are pleasing to God. Think about a situation, a horrible situation. Your house is on fire. You make it out of the house and you realize there is another member of my family in that house, and boy, is the house ever on fire. And the firefighters come, and one of the firefighters, with his gear on, he rushes right through the flames, and he's looking in that house trying to find your loved one, and he finds that person, and he brings him out. Is that a good work? Boy, for us, we would be thinking, that was such an amazing thing. We would be so thankful for that man, or even, I suppose, that woman, for the rest of our lives, thinking our loved one could have burned up in there and that person saved my loved one. That would be a good work to us. But the Bible is saying, though, that if that firefighter does not have true saving faith in Jesus, what he did by running into that burning building, that doesn't count anything in the sight of God. How do we know that? Think about Hebrews chapter 11. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. So any work that is legitimate, any work that counts in the sight of God, has to come from saving faith. So when I think about my life many years ago, I was claiming to have faith, and I tried to do a whole bunch of good stuff, and I think I probably even fooled my pastors. I went to a big church, but my pastors knew me and such. I'd been a member there my whole life, and here I am claiming faith. I'm coming to church. I'm serving in the church in various ways, and they're probably thinking, hey, that guy's good. We don't even need to talk to him because I made it look so good, and I actually thought I was a Christian. So I'm claiming it. I thought it was a legitimate claim, and I have the evidence to back it up. I wish one of them would have pulled me aside and said, hey, Bob, let's do a little checkup on you here and make sure that you have the kind of faith that actually saves. But they never did that, so I didn't know I was in trouble, and they didn't know either. So it was a sad situation. Let's go on here to the final part. So works can show faith. Now, I don't say here works do show faith. I'm saying that works can show faith. Going to the passage here, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So we're focusing here on works. So what are works? The Greek word for works, that's the word erga. And works looking at a definition here of what they are. This is from Freiburg. Works are a practical demonstration or proof of faith. Works are a practical demonstration or proof of faith. So an important definition. And then as we take a look at what we have here in verse 18, two statements here. First of all, show me your faith without the works. Can anyone do that? Could anyone say, well, oh yeah, I have faith. Let me show it to you. I'm not going to show it to you with my works, but let me show it to you. Can anyone do that? Why would that be impossible? Faith is invisible. We can't see it. Like if there's some invisible reality, can I show you that right next to Briar there are three angels there in the front pew? Can I show you that? No, I can't. The angels are invisible. God wants us to understand faith is invisible too. We can't see it. So people who are claiming that they have it, but if they have no works, what kind of faith is that? That is a faith that is dead. Think about Dr. Luther's famous statement. What did he say about faith? Faith is a living, busy, active, mighty thing. That kind of reminds me of the tools I showed the kids. Hey, those tools aren't just sitting there like a bump on a log. Hey, those tools, they can accomplish things. That's what Dr. Luther is saying. Faith is a living, busy, active, mighty thing. You're going to see that. When you have faith in Christ, hey, that's going to show. There's going to be evidence. God wants us to know that reality. Think about a person, and the person is lying over here on the floor, and I'm not seeing any movement from here, but somebody is saying, hey, it's okay, that person is alive. And then we have one of the nurses who are gathered here with us today. They come over and check, and they say, I can tell the person is not breathing, and I can tell there is no heartbeat, and there's no other evidence that the person is alive, and even though someone is claiming he is alive, what does the evidence tell us? The evidence is telling us that person is dead. Again, God wants us to understand when people are claiming to have the faith, but there is not the evidence that is coming from saving faith, the proper conclusion is that that person is spiritually dead, has a dead faith. And then in the final statement here we're going to focus on, I will show you my faith by my works. We have to be careful here. I alluded to this earlier in the sermon, but some people are true Christians, some people are false Christians, and actually it's hard for you or me to really tell the difference. Only God knows for certain. But what do I mean by that, though? A person who has godly sorrow worked by the Holy Spirit, and a person who understands, I can do nothing to save myself. Jesus is the Son of God. He did everything. I have all my confidence in him. That person is a true Christian. And that person is going to have the evidence of works in his life. I hope every one of us are in that category. However, though, we have people who are lacking something. Some people are saying they have faith, but they do not have godly sorrow. Some people are saying they have faith, but they only have two parts of faith. What are the three ingredients of faith? Knowledge, agreement, and trust. I believe so many people in the world, they know something about God. They know something about Jesus. They agree that that stuff is true. And they do have trust, but they don't have trust in Jesus. They have trust in themselves. They think that is saving faith. They know something. They agree that it is true, and they're trusting in what they are doing, coming to church, reading their Bible, helping their neighbor, on and on. And they're comfortable in that. They think it's right, it makes sense, but yet it is not saving faith. So people who are lacking either the godly sorrow or faith, that has all three ingredients. Anyone who's lacking one or the other, now that might be a person who's doing a whole bunch of good stuff. So for us, that would be like me years ago. My pastor is like, well, he's saying he has faith. He seems to have the evidence of it. We're concluding he must be a Christian. However, though, I was trusting in me back then. I wasn't trusting in Jesus. So that's a big difference, but they didn't know that, and I didn't even know any better either. I was so thoroughly deceived. It can happen to anybody. So we have to be careful if we're ever thinking about a friend, a family member, a neighbor, whoever it might be. Boy, if we really love them, what should we do? We should say, if you don't mind, can we just sit down and talk for a short time? If it's okay, I'd like to ask you a couple questions. And we could simply ask them, you know, do you believe that someday God will welcome you into heaven? They're probably going to say yes, most people do. And then we could say, can you tell me the reason why God would let you into heaven? And basically, they're either going to say, because of the good stuff I've done, or they're going to say, I have God-given faith in Jesus. I trust him alone for my entrance into heaven. And then you're going to know, if they give the right answer, you're going to be greatly rejoicing. And if they have the wrong answer, well, you can pick up a couple of the brochures we have out there and go through those with them. And hopefully that would be an eternal blessing to them to hear the truth of God's word, or maybe even share this sermon with them. Maybe that would be a good thing as well. Well, thinking about people who are in trouble and they don't even know it, let me conclude with this verse from Jesus out of Revelation chapter 3. This is part of the seven letters to the seven churches. Jesus said, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. So isn't that what I just described? A person who is claiming to have faith, they have the deeds that go along with the claim, and yet Jesus is saying, I know your hearts, and I know that even though you have the reputation that everything is good, I know that you are in trouble. And anybody who's in trouble, are we writing them off? By no means. Hey, we love them. We want to share the truth with them. We want to call them to repent. We want them to have God's blessings forever and ever. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, grant us saving faith. If any of us is lacking, grant us that true saving faith that is made up of knowledge, agreement, and trust. Grant us also the evidence of God-honoring works. What are those works? Help us, dear Father, to live out your word to show our love for you, and help us to help those in need to show our love for them. Those are ways that we have true works that are coming from our saving faith. We also pray, dear Father, for anyone who is deceived. Work by the Holy Spirit to show them the truth, to give them the gift of saving faith, to bring them into your kingdom, to assure them that they are forgiven, and may the joy of those great blessings cause them to show forth the evidence of true God-honoring works in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.